Welcome to Virginia Voice. Jamie Swain, President and CEO of Virginia Public Media. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is indeed our pleasure to have you here to chat, but also, I don't know if you know this, but you are helping us to sort of rebirth our face-to-face series. And we have several podcast series, actually, things like The Blind Experience and The Mighty Pen Project. And historically, there were just a number of series that wonderful people would come through and have these interviews like Lou Dean and Tim Timberlake and several others. But over the years, things have changed. And of course, COVID put a real stop on these kinds of wonderful face-to-face experiences. So this is really our first back in the studio, face-to-face podcast. So thank you.
Well, I'm honored to be the first back to face-to-face guest. It's wonderful to be here.
Thank you so much. We're going to talk about what has been a long-standing relationship between Virginia Voice and VPN. And we'll circle back to that. But first, I would love to share a little bit about you with our listeners so they can get to know Jamie Swain. We can see your story on LinkedIn, and also your illustrious career is outlined. And we know from looking at the website that you're at VPM, but would you share with us a little bit about your journey towards public media?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I think growing up as a kid, it's funny, so it's Women's History Month, and our own staff was talking a little bit about just journeys as women leaders. And I said as a child, I always watched so much television that there was really no other path for me than media. And really, I was inspired. My first year out of college, I was in New York working at NBC4, which is the affiliate there. I was an intern. And one of the reporters, a female reporter named McGee Hickey, really took me under her wing. And that was really the beginning of my journalism career and her inspiration to do that. I then, after college, went to CNN in Atlanta and worked in commercial journalism, which I had for many years. I worked for U.S. News and World Report. I actually was a sports journalist for a little while. And after that time, I started to see some trends in journalism and commercial journalism that didn't speak to why I was originally inspired to be in journalism, which was really delivering facts and information to people and having them make their own decisions. So in 2008, I begged PBS to take me, and I started in the digital team, in the digital department. And they were thinking, at that time, the iPad had just launched, and there was so much promise. And so we were thinking a lot about digital distribution. And then I spent 10 years at PBS and really wanted to come to a local organization because to me, it was great to see public media at a 100,000-foot view. But when you get to see impact day in and day out in the community, that's what really drove me to come to this area.
That is such a cool story. And especially when you talk about the change in journalism. And, you know, I had a stint in journalism, and there are these changes that I guess it would be the chicken or the egg or the horse or the cart. You know, what drove those changes, of course, a lot of people, of course, are trying to figure that out, and maybe it will never be figured out. And some of them are good. However, it does drive you to a certain point. And when you say you were attracted to PBS because of the impact that you could make, I feel the same way about being at Virginia Voice and being at a not-for-profit organization.
Oh, I think one of the things, actually, just to jump in, that I think the combination of our organizations is that you're offering this amazing service, and I hope what we're giving your listeners is that factual journalism so that people have, again, the information they need to make decisions in their own lives. And I really appreciate our partnership and the work that you all do, providing trusted, factual partners and information to your listeners, which I think is, to me, the underpinning of democracy in a healthy society.
Absolutely. And one of our listeners shared with me at one point that she was with a group of friends, and they were talking about a particular story that was in the media, you know, a current event. And she just sort of jumped in and started explaining various pieces of it. She took a historical bent, and then she brought in the current status and so on and so forth. And her friends, who she happened to not have sight, and her friends were not sightless, and they said, "How in the world do you know this?" She said, I listen to Virginia Voice.
There you go.
And, you know, that is important for a number of reasons. Number one, because that's our purpose, right? So that is heartwarming. But it also speaks to what you're saying and to be able to present those facts and to know that our listeners are listening to the Virginia Voice broadcast and they're listening to VPM to be able to get the extended stories as well. That marriage is just a natural, very natural thing. And I was looking at your website. There's a phrase, corporate social responsibility, you know, and it's, I don't want to say it's trendy, but it's certainly the term is trendy. And there are many companies that have that as part of their story. But I feel like VPM leans into that a bit more than many companies. I might be a bit biased. I do listen to VPM. But tell me about that. I saw diversity. I saw social impact. I saw, of course, arts and culture. But how was that manifested over the years?
Sure. And maybe it's helpful for your listeners to give a little bit of what VPM is. So VPM is your local public media, so traditionally known as streaming or bringing you your favorite NPR or PBS programs. But I think people don't realize the amount of local work that we do. And we're very different from a commercial broadcaster because we're here to strengthen our community and make an impact. Our vision is more informed, connected, and empathetic Virginians. And the idea is, how do we elevate stories and voices locally of Virginians so we all get to know each other better and can engender that empathy? And I think our work also extends beyond broadcast. People think of us as a broadcaster, but we see ourselves as a core community partner for people like Virginia Voice. We do a lot of work in the community. For example, in early childhood education, so many people grow up with PBS Kids and the characters and Sesame Street. And what we do is take that content, work with partners, and go out in the community and ensure our parents, our early childhood educators who don't often get the support that they need, have those really important curriculum resources that we get from PBS. So again, I think we see ourselves as much broader than a broadcaster, and that's what brings us to impact the work that we're doing in the community to make a difference and so that we can fulfill that vision and help all of us fulfill that vision to be more connected, informed, and empathetic.
Yes, and when you talk about empathy, that is considered a leadership skill, at least post-COVID it is.
Mm-hmm, and I agree.
There were many horrible, horrible things that happened as a result of COVID. But I do think that we've stepped into some spaces that we needed to find many years ago. Mm-hmm. And one of them is empathy, patience. All these are leadership skills. And it's a leadership skill when a company expresses that as part of their model and their brand. But let's talk a little bit, since you did explain VPM, and I appreciate that. There was a rebranding, is that fair
That's
to
right.
say?
Yes.
So why from WCVE to VPM? How did that happen?
Yeah, great question. When I joined the organization in January 2019, we had just received a significant infusion of cash from an auction of broadcast spectrum. And that really was the catalyst to some significant change. So for your listeners, and you have people all over the state as we do, our PBS station, WCVE here traditionally in Richmond, merged with the station in Harrisonburg, WVPT. And we're both organizations that have been rooted in community since 1960. So, I mean, long history, long community support. We also use those resources here in Richmond. And when you think about the NPR side, to buy additional frequencies. So we have an all news frequency and an all radio frequency. But what happened is I'd go introduce myself, Yvonne. I'd say, hi, I'm Jamie Swain. I'm president of WCVE, WVPT, WCVW, and it just got to be logo soup. And it didn't mean anything to anybody. So what we wanted to do was knit all of these great stations under a brand. And the other piece of it is so much of our content is now discoverable on mobile devices and other devices that sometimes long names don't work on an icon on a mobile phone. So we really thought long and hard about what we could be in VPM as Virginia's home for public media is what came to the fore. And that's worked very well for us since we made that change in August 2019.
That is very helpful. I personally wanted to know, and now our viewers know and our listeners know as well. And when you talk about a statewide stretch in terms of your impact, I don't know if you realize this, but when Virginia Voice was founded in 1978 by Roy Ward, the thought process was that we would eventually become a statewide radio network. That was sort of the vision, if you will. And though that never happened, as we grew, some other things changed. And we were available on Alexa. Also, several other radio reading audio information services throughout the Commonwealth use part of our broadcast. And so when you think about those implications and the availability of our on-demand and streaming services on your phone, then yeah, you start realizing that many services become statewide.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have that in mind when you're providing service. You know, we still, though, like to focus on local news. And to that end, we've been chatting with you about using the VPM news information. And I'm kind of giving away a secret, I think. Ooh, how exciting.
How exciting.
We're not quite there. But talk about your news. I looked at your website, and I've done it many times, and I saw the VPM news, and it seems like you're doing quite a bit in that space right now. Local news.
That's it. We're actually working on our strategic plan, and we have three core areas we're focused on: news, arts and culture, and early childhood education. And it's interesting you bring up Alexa. Broadcast is certainly a one-to-many approach, but it also has geographic boundaries. And the great thing that technology has allowed us to do is break those geographical boundaries. And we are trying to serve Virginia news, local Virginia news across the state. And if you're even not in our geographic boundary, hopefully you can still get us from an Alexa or a website. And when you look at the news landscape, so this is the world in which I've come up in, it's a disturbing landscape from a local perspective. If you look at most of the local broadcasters, they're owned by usually an organization somewhere else, like a Nexstar or a Gray or otherwise. They're no longer locally owned. When you look at the local newspapers, they are all under threat. Their models have changed. And again, being bought up and sold in different iterations. And data shows you that if you do not have local news in a community, you start to have deep polarization. You have no one to hold truth to power. Voting goes down. We lose our sense of community and connection. So at VPM, we're really leaning into local news and on all platforms to try to, as you said, reach people where they are. So we've really grown. We're a 30-person newsroom now. We've about tripled in size. And we think about news in every way. So our radio broadcast, which I hope your listeners are able to get access to, our web articles often are longer, and we have a little bit more room and space to do things. We now have a news magazine series called Focal Point, which is a 30-minute show, dives deep into each episode, takes one issue and dives into it. So so far this year, we've done guns, we've done cybersecurity, and we've done gender identity. And this is from perspectives all over Virginia, and that's available. We also are doing podcasts. You mentioned podcasts earlier. This is a way so many people now access content. So we have a brand new, I'd love for your listeners to check out Admissible, Shreds of Evidence. It's our new podcast. Looks at the crime lab in Richmond back in the 70s and the 80s. And people that you might thought were heroes, turns out not so much. And really interesting, just there were 13 men exonerated actually here in Virginia based on some evidence in those crime labs. So that's really the investigative piece of our work. So we're trying to think about expanding our journalism on multiple platforms, but really focused on local and what's important here in Virginia.
I heard a listener say that we bring the world to her. But that world, that relevant world, is right outside your window.
Yeah, it could be hyper-local. A lot.
Yes.
Think about COVID. What people needed to know is, what are the transmission rates? Where can you get a vaccine? What's happening at your hospital? There was certainly the national, and I think from a media perspective, national hoovers up so much of the space. But so much of what we care about day in and day out is local. And if that goes away, that, again, that phrase community. So it's so important, the work that you're doing, connecting that with your listeners.
Yeah, that's what everyone wants to know. What's going on in your community? And when you talk about polarization, you know, I spent a good deal of time in news. I was the traffic lady, so I was on the fringes. I was dealing with news, but it was all on the roads.
It's all there,
all there. But, you know, you run a news story about a shooting in a particular neighborhood, and when you don't bring context to that in terms of the entire community, then it just becomes something that happened somewhere else. And that's how that polarization can occur. But when you bring it all together and then you add some perspective to it in terms of how it's related to your community, that's what our listeners, they need to know. So you're 65 or 60 years old. You've been a part of the community all your life. You were a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, a construction worker. You worked in a restaurant. Whatever your profession was, you had sight and you were contributing to the community like everyone else. And you lose your sight and suddenly you're marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the ironic part of it is that the sighted folks can't see you.
Right.
They don't see you. If we don't bring a greater understanding to the fact that we are all community.
Right.
And how whatever happens on the East End really does have an effect on the West End. And whatever happens in Winchester really does matter to someone who lives in Richmond or Northern Virginia. And how do you pull that all together? And I feel like VPM does an amazing job of that in terms of handling that statewide piece.
Yeah, I think we're also trying to that point, elevate the humanity in all of us. And each of us have a story, and all of our stories are rich and important. And for others to hear, as you said, you can't understand your neighbors unless you hear about them. And when things get polarized or things get in different narratives, we've lost that a little bit. And I think part of the thing that we can do is connect and help people learn about the community that does not have sight, because they are still members of our community doing great work and having an impact, and they're our neighbors. I hear a lot where people say, our story isn't told. And I hear that from all communities. There are people of color, people in rural communities, people with different disabilities. And it's incumbent on all of us to elevate those stories, share those stories, because without it, how do we get to know each other and how can we help and strengthen our community so that we have equity for everybody going forward?
You spoke about childhood education, mm-hmm. and it really starts there.
Absolutely.
You know, the importance of Sesame Street, for example. For me, for my children, we have to educate our children.
Yes.
I was reading about the change from, or is it a change, PBS and HBO Max. Yep. Could you explain how that works? It's still available, though, right?
It is. In fact, I was at PBS when this happened. So Sesame Workshop is a separate organization, so they need to think about their own long-term sustainability. What they decided to do is HBO, because HBO was trying to attract families as Netflix and others were coming on and offering streaming. Obviously, Sesame has a huge archive and fan base. So they went in and got the streaming rights. What they brokered with PBS is that PBS has the on-air broadcast rights, but it's a window. So PBS gets those rights 9 months later. And I think the thing that is important about Sesame, and I'm glad public broadcasting still has it, is Sesame makes a lot of effort to ensure that children can see themselves early on in the content. And that's what was mind-blowing about Sesame when it started. But they include people of all walks of life, and they introduce kids to that. I mean, I think about one of the characters that has autism. What an important subject to bring forward so that kids don't think they're other or they're different, that their gifts might be a little different from another kid's, but they're still important and valuable members of our community and our society. And that's why I think Sesame is still vibrant today, still important. And I'm glad that HBO and PBS were able to, as a commercial and non-commercial, see that and continue to work together to ensure that it's accessible in many different ways and forms.
That's wonderful. And I'm so glad that you're continuing with work in that space. So we have you here. I don't want to miss the opportunity. You probably don't talk about yourself a lot. And in the way that I've met you, I don't see that in you. But if you will indulge me for just a moment. I saw on LinkedIn someone endorsed you, and their words were that you are a model CEO. That is incredible. And this person is not someone who doesn't know CEOs. I believe he's a strategist in the leadership space and over at JMU. So children, adults, women who are watching you, what can we do as women in this community to help foster the evolution of more Jamie Swains? Do you get that question? Do young ladies ask you, you know, how do I get to be like you?
Sure. And I think, well, first of all, very kind comments. You know, I think like every leader, so I'm a first time CEO. This is my first time as a CEO. And I think like everybody, you feel the imposter syndrome and am I doing the right thing? You know, I think about curiosity and I pair that with mentorship. I've been very lucky in my career and I've navigated some difficult spaces, commercial newsrooms, sports, locker rooms. I mean, some very, very difficult cultures. And I think I've always tried to stay true to myself and my values. So I think helping people root in that. But mentors have meant the world to me. Those who took me under their wing and influenced me. And mentorship, I think people over define what that means. It could be somebody who sat down with you at a lunch and did an introduction. It could be somebody who spends a lot of time with you. It was like the reporter when I was an intern. It doesn't have to take on such a formal form always. But I hope to pay that forward. And I think, as you said, how as we as women can help, I think mentoring, reaching out. One of the challenges I see with this pandemic is when I was coming up, it was about being seen. And I got lucky that I got invited into the room sometimes because it was my curiosity. Hey, would you mind if, could you tell me more about? And when we're not in the office and we're not together, I don't mind that flexibility, but I worry about how we're going to impart different wisdom and opportunities and being able to see and learn from different leadership styles. I mean, my leadership style is pulled from all these different wonderful people I've had exposure to. And I hope that next generation continues that and takes those opportunities to sit down and network and ask questions. And I think we as leaders should always say yes, always take that time to sit down with somebody through a lunch or whatever and help that next generation.
I completely agree. And you make such an important point about remote work. And I, too, am not against it, but I definitely agree with that particular situation. And I think that sometimes young ladies think that when you say the word strong or you say the word leader, that means that you're mean or you're severe. And none of that has anything to do with being strong right. and a leader. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think women get tagged with certain things. If you, so people say that I'm opinionated. I'm from New Jersey. Yes, I'm opinionated. But I think it's sort of how you characterize that. But it's okay to be strong. It's okay to be opinionated. And I think the labels sometimes that are applied to women in business and leadership, I hope that we are finally breaking some of those down. And what I want those young girls to hear is it's okay, again, to have those qualities. Don't shy away from those. Don't shy away from, you know, leading people or jumping in and doing something or being brash. Those are okay things to be. And don't turn your personality off. Be you and be your best you.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And we have just a couple of minutes left. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about the significance of the relationship between VPM and Virginia Voice. So we have a 24/7, 365 broadcast, and it's available certainly streaming online, on demand. We're on Alexa, and that's great. That's wonderful. And we also have SCA radios. They look kind of old-fashioned
yep.
little wooden radios, but there are still 400,000 locations
wow.
in Virginia mm-hmm. without broadband access.
That's
so
right.
even if you can afford it, if you lose your site and you want to be able to get connected to your community, then it is only because of VPM that we're able to deliver that using your subcarrier channel and having it embedded in those radios. It's the only way that those folks are able to listen to Virginia Voice. And we have thankfully, a lot of people signing up. We serve more than 11,000, although we have a lot of work to do. There's more than 20,000 people just in the Richmond region who need our service. But in order to serve the people who and the individuals who need us, we rely on VPM's amazing generosity. And I just wanted to make sure I said thank you. And it seems trite, but it is truly appreciated, our relationship, and we depend on it.
Well, we're happy to do it, and I think it's a wonderful partnership. We both have similar missions where we're trying to serve our communities and do so, and I'm glad you mentioned those who don't have broadband. We think about that often. It's reaching out to people, because for so many of your listeners, this is their connection to their community, to their neighbors, to each other. And we couldn't be more honored and proud to be able to use our subcarrier for such a worthy and important cause.
Thank you so much. And you're right. We're so kismet, you know, we're just always
we're symbiotic.
Yes, very symbiotic with education and connection and diversity and cultural and arts equity. You know, we have our live audio description that we take to the theaters, and it's so valued by our listeners and actually by us. It's, I don't know, it's so rewarding, you know, to be able to bring the arts and culture. Everyone in our community should have access to this great community.
Agree.
We have a lot going on. Right.
And, you know, we talked about news. To me, that's information, but arts is what feeds your soul. And that's important for everybody. That is what, especially when you think about through COVID, that was that thing that really fed our soul. And we do, for folks too, your listeners, we do have our radio, our music. So sometimes you want to turn off the news and just go to music. We have classical and jazz and world music and hip hop and all kinds of fun stuff. So when you need that, please check that out as well, because I think that those are those moments that just bring you light and joy.
They do. All things consider, I love it when they do interviews with rap artists.
Yes.
And I think, you know, I would not know that about that person. And now I do. And
right.
It's just, I love all the programs. You have so many extended programs and amazing franchises. And I appreciate what you do every single day. Thank you, Jamie Swain.
Well, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
We appreciate you spending some time with us this afternoon. Yvonne Mastromano with Virginia Voice and Jamie Swain, CEO and President of VPM, with your face-to-face podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in.